Welcome to the Success Sensei Podcast for anyone interested in success, happiness, and balance. We'll teach you how to be a black belt at life. And now, your host, former professional fighter, multiple world champion, entrepreneur, and investor, Robert Devan.
Bowing in, this is Roundhouse Rob, the Success Sensei, helping you to improve your life one kick and punch at a time. And today I'm talking about how to be financially secure despite no handouts. So in other words, if you have no inheritance or you haven't been handed money in your life, you weren't born into an affluent or wealthy family, you've had to stand on your own two feet and make a go of it yourself, then this podcast is for you. If you were born into money, I don't begrudge you at all. If you haven't had to start from scratch, if you're already financially secure when you were brought into the world, I don't begrudge you at all. That's not what this is about. In fact, I'm hoping my own kids will be in that same position when they're a little bit older. Just before I really get into this, I'm kind of a little bit excited in a geeky way because I have a new microphone. I still don't know if it's the finished article. It's only podcast number three, so I'm gonna have to keep working on it. Maybe the room that I'm in, the acoustics aren't great, and the software, I probably need to look at that. But look, I'm gonna do a podcast or an article or a blog on it in the future about how sometimes you just have to start even when conditions aren't perfect. And that's very much what's going on here. But I know there's useful information in this for you. So back to the task at hand. I digress again. One of the reasons why I'm doing this, even if I don't get any listeners, I mean, obviously it's going to be super if it really takes off. And this as well is another way of generating passive income and generating some recognition. Sure, who would refuse that, and who would be sorry if that actually happened? But that's not what these are actually about. There's two things. Number one, I do have small kids. I know I've mentioned them already. And I've always thought about how I'm going to leave a legacy for them. And, you know, this is information that I pass on to them, even if they're the only ones that ever listen to it. I'm going to be doing them in such a way that I hope they'll help there. If they do listen to it, they do listen to their daddy. I hope that it will help their lives and all the many different subjects that we're going to be doing over the next few weeks and months and hopefully years. Another reason for doing it is myself, to get it out of my brain, get the stuff out of my brain and to leave some type of a body of work. I mean, again, that's going to be another podcast in the future about leaving a legacy and what does that mean and what can you do, etc., etc. Just putting the stuff, getting it out of your head, putting it on paper, putting it into a podcast, putting it onto a vlog, and leaving some type of a body of work behind, specifically for kids and whoever, my kids and whoever else wants to listen to it. It is a journey for myself as well. Like, so everything I talk about is stuff that I have learned in the past. It's stuff that I do live myself on an ongoing basis, and it is also stuff I'm learning as well. I mean, I will be talking about things and philosophies that I am myself working on and learning, but that I know you can learn from too if you're interested. So back to the task at hand: how to be financially secure despite no handouts. So as I said, yeah, we're not hating on those who were brought into the world with plenty of cash. You can if you want hate on them, but that's not what this is about. It's basically how to arm you with enough knowledge to make sure that you can still be financially secure, even if you start from zero. And that, unfortunately, is the case for many people. They start without anything. Their parents have struggled, and then they go on, and then they struggle. So it's important to break that cycle. And there are things and there are action steps that you can take. So straight off, and for the record, I'm not a financial advisor. I am an investor and I am an entrepreneur. I've read loads of business books. I still read loads of business books. I find it hard to read fiction. And I will listen to a lot of podcasts regarding business. But I am frustrated a lot, like many of you will be as well, that are into this type of genre. And that is the people that are giving the information. There's two things that happen. Either number one, they're giving it from such a lofty height that you can't really relate to them. So when somebody is a billionaire, when Warren Buffett or whoever other name is out there that's a billionaire, Richard Branson, and they're giving advice, they're giving it from a billionaire's perspective. A lot of people, myself included, I have no interest in being a billionaire. That's too much money for me. A lot of people would just be simply happy being financially secure. So the advice that a billionaire gives you, I don't care what they say, they are out of touch. They are, as I said, such a lofty height and so far beyond where the everyday person is at the moment, that it makes it unrealistic to attain. So yeah, by all means, strive to be a billionaire if that suits you. Strive to be a millionaire, a multi-millionaire, but certainly you have to start by becoming financially secure first. Immediately trying to go straight for a billionaire status, you might shoot yourself in the foot and become frustrated with the whole process. So all these autobiographies are even worse, because when you read autobiographies of famous and rich people, and you're hoping to glean a little bit of information that can help you to emulate what they have done to be successful in their lives. And the problem with that is nearly every single one that I've ever read, as much as they're good and they're entertaining and they're motivational, it reaches a point in the book or in their lives that something happened at the right time, at the right moment, something that they met the right person, the right situation, something that can't be recreated in my life or your life or anyone else's life for that matter. So it does get to the point where you can't emulate it and you can't emulate their success. I mean, they obviously, to sell their books, they're not going to really tell you that, but look, it does play a part of it. I mean, obviously, the harder you try, the luckier you get. But when you read these books, as I said, there is a point where that in time that can't be recreated in your life, that happened to them, that made it, it happened for them in a way that's going to be different for you. So sometimes it's important to concentrate on the simpler side of things and going back to understanding the basics. So I know the basics aren't as glamorous, but being more financially secure than you are right now at this point is definitely glamorous. So after you become financially secure and happy with your own financial situation, then you can start thinking bigger. By all means, start thinking bigger and look to bigger and better things. So there's kind of two main areas, and I know this is going to sound really obvious, but area number one, and it's the most fun to talk about, that is increase your income. Increase your income. In other words, bring in as much money as you can. Simple. Do what you have to do to bring in as much money as you can. Legally, I'm talking about, you can watch all the movies about, people selling drugs, and you can read all these biographies of swindlers and scammers and criminals and be motivated for a small period of time thinking that that's going to be your life path, but it's not sustainable. It puts your life in jeopardy, your whole family's lives in jeopardy, and it's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is do what you have to do, work the hours that you have to do. If you are an employee, make yourself invaluable. So if you're even if it's something that you're not mad about, do the best that you can. If you do the best that you can, you will be rewarded. It will lead to other opportunities, whether it's other jobs, whether it's within that company. But make yourself invaluable. Do the best job that you can. Everybody respects and looks at people admiringly who seem to do stuff well. No matter what, whether it's sweeping the ground, no matter pruning a tree, I don't know, manual labor, anything, and we all admire people who do things and they do it well. Even customer service, when we're given good customer service, we're happy. And I mean, customer service jobs can be very, very, some of the most difficult jobs of the whole lot. So the people in those roles who are doing a good job, fair play to them, they're making themselves invaluable. It might be a means to an end. They might not be staying at these jobs. It doesn't matter whether you're staying at your job or not. Make yourself invaluable. It helps even when you're moving on for another job to get a decent reference. But look at the bigger picture. If you're a business owner, make sure you always go into your business as a customer, with the eyes, ears and nose of a customer. Make sure that you do check that on a regular basis. Relook at your business model. Don't allow things to go stale. You should be offering, I'm sure you're doing this already, but just to go over, you should be offering three price models. You should be offering low, something middle, and something high. Obviously, everyone's majority of people are going to go with the middle option. So be prepared for that middle option to be your best seller. Whether we're talking about a service or a product, it's irrelevant. Make sure you revisit your packaging. And I'm not just talking about, you know, like a box. I'm actually talking about the way you structure. I'm in the service industry myself, so I'm actually talking about the way you structure a course, the content of the course, that type of a packaging, the way you market it, the way it's branded, a different name. Make sure you're constantly coming up with different products, whether they're courses or whether they're actual physical products. Make sure you're constantly coming up with different ones. Invent or repackage the products that you have or the services that you have. And obviously run with the ones that are more successful, because customers love change, they love energy, and they love enthusiasm. So if you're constantly launching new things, as I said, you can run with the winning ones, but your customers will sense that you're enthusiastic and eager about new ones, and I mean that kind of energy is infectious. Next one, make sure you're continuing your education in whatever format that is. So yeah, obviously read more is fairly cost effective. It doesn't cost very much. You can go on courses, you can get more certification, you can completely change roles. You know, work experience isn't just for school kids. You can offer your time voluntary to gain experience in an industry, even just to see if it's something that you wanted to do or something that you liked. You know, all the buzzwords of upskill and reskilling and all that kind of stuff. I mean, yeah, you can do that, as I said, through work experience and through volunteering work. You can do it through, it doesn't have to be going back to college, or it doesn't have to be academia. Although, I mean, obviously that's absolutely one of the best options out there to get more qualifications and to get that paperwork behind your name. Or even get a title before your name. I mean, that's an amazing thing to do, and will absolutely launch you into bigger and better and more advanced things. But it doesn't have to be as hardcore as that, especially if you're not in a position due to family life or income or time or whatever. You can simply be reading more. I mean, there's the whole principle of the 10,000 hours. If you do something for 10,000 hours, you're an expert in it. So I would include that. I would include like listening to your favorite subject, reading your favorite subject, talking about your favorite subject, practicing it, and becoming an expert in a different area that you know you might want to transition from your job to do. And which brings us on to the next thing, a second stream of income. You should be looking at a second stream of income. So that could be a second job, or it could be to start your own business. Basically, a side hustle. You never know what could happen with your side hustle. Your side hustle could become your main hustle. You should always have another stream of income, even if it only is small, even if it starts small. You just don't know what's going to happen. And again, when you have a side hustle or a side business or a second job, it's giving you more experience. It's looking good on your CV, your resume, and you will immerse yourself in the information regarding that subject. So that's all a good thing. And then, I mean, later on, you can always evaluate whether you want to stick with it or not, whether you want to do another one, whether you want to leave your main job, whether you want to continue with the business that you've started, etc. Every little helps, basically. When you are in a position to spend on assets and not liabilities. So there, you know, I'm biased towards property, and obviously that's the big one, but that's also a big ticket item. There's many other assets at all types of income levels, stuff I don't understand about art and wine and watches and all those kind of things as well can be assets. You'd have to study them and study the market, but there are assets at all type of income levels. Now remember, assets are income producing items. So things that might appreciate in value are things that can give you can spend money on, and it actually returns some type of a passive income. Passive income is something that I will do another podcast on. I don't fully believe passive income is fully passive, but it's a hell of a lot more passive than working hard every day. So it's definitely worth doing, because there's many options when it comes to passive income. So when you are spending money, you should be looking at spending money on things that are going to produce an income or go up in value, as opposed to just chucking your money away, which is what, you know, you're entitled to do. A lot of us do on a regular basis. But over a long term, you have to try to have a little bit of discipline. The money that you're spending now, it means less money in your future. You have to remember that. The money that you're going to be spending now means less money. It means you're going to be working harder and longer into your future. That's a thought that if you put in your mind, you really will consider what you're spending your money on. Which brings us on to the next one. So that was increase your income, decreasing your expenses. So this is the one that's a lot less glamorous and a lot less fun for people. Decreasing your expenses, the one that people don't want to concentrate. You'd rather we were just continue to talk about increasing your income and all the wealth that you're going to have and the fantasy of living on the beach somewhere, sipping your cocktails. But we have to talk about decreasing your expenses, because decreasing your expenses makes you richer. It actually makes you more financially secure, and it multiplies your income. So it's very, very important. Without one, you can't have the other. Think about all the many poor and fortunate people that have won the lotto and have won big money, the lottery, the big money. I know you're not feeling sorry for them right now, but if you ever watch any of the documentaries or read any of this stuff, a lot of it goes really wrong really quickly. They don't know how to manage their money. They're, even though they have all this wealth has come into them very, very fast, they don't know how to handle their expenses. And it's all gone before you know it, and leaves a destructive path in its wake, leaves broken relationships, and some are destitute and even a worse impoverished position than they were before they ever even won the lottery. So I know you're probably not that sympathetic for them right now, but you know, because you're thinking that they brought it on themselves, and they have done. But remember, you don't have to make certain mistakes to learn from other people's mistakes. So that's what we need to talk about, decreasing your expenses. So if you are in debt, which most of us are and a lot of us are, decrease your most expensive debt first, which is credit cards, obviously, or money lender debt. That should be paid down first. You can, there's many free governmental bodies that will help you consolidate your debt and basically combine your debt at a lower rate, so that it's more manageable and help you. If you need to go to these people, it all starts with a small step, an email or a phone call. Especially if you're worried about being in debt or you're worried about anything like that, there's no point in worrying yourself and affecting your health and your relationships through the worry. You have to take an action step, which is an email or a phone call. So try to sort out your debt, figure out which is the most expensive, but that one's the one that gets paid off first, or as I said, consolidate and combine. Right, let's kill two birds with one stone. We all have a load of built up clutter, so I'm sure you have in your attic space, in your shed space, in your house, clutter that you don't need, you don't use. So get rid of it by selling it off. There's many apps, there's many you can use your social media, sell it off, get in a few quid that you didn't have before, and you're helping to declutter your house, which when you're in a messy home, when you have a messy surroundings, your brain can be cluttered. You can't, it's proven that, you know, you're happier when your surroundings are a little bit more organized. You feel more in control of your life. So get rid of your clutter and sell it off, make whatever money you can. Don't buy unnecessary items. Unnecessary items, what are they? Separating needs and wants. So you might have to forego instant gratification for financial security in the future. Now, I'm not saying live a minimalist life. I personally admire minimalism. I think it's super not being attached to material possessions and living in a small home and operating with less possessions. I admire all that. It's a little bit too severe for me. It's a little bit too restrictive, but a healthy dose of minimalism in your life is important. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about balance and making decent choices. If you're going on holidays, it doesn't have to be a honeymoon standard holiday. I mean, a week in the sun somewhere cheap and cheerful can recharge your batteries just the same as a very expensive cruise around the Caribbean. So it doesn't always have to be the expensive option. You don't have to drive a Ferrari. Will your mates really be that impressed? Will they, you know, really pat you on the back, or will they just think you're a knob? I mean, if you're buying things to impress other people, you might have to reevaluate that. A podcast for another day, I think. But make your choices. Try not to buy unnecessary items. You don't have to live like a pauper, but you don't need, as I said, expensive clothes all the time. You don't need to be eating out every day. Alcohol is expensive. Nights out every weekend really do add up to a lot. So just try to balance things out a little bit better. Never purchase straight away. So especially if it's a big decision, try to sleep on it. You don't have to decide there and then. Impulse shopping is bad, as you'll always overspend. So just think things through, not necessarily just with your heart and your mind. I've no problem with striving for something and writing a goal down, and I've no problem with wanting to attain material possessions. But when you can afford them, and they can be great motivators to help you do all those other things that you need to do, all the positive things in your life, so that you can actually earn them and not use credit, not borrow for liabilities or depreciating assets. Right, next one. It's another non-sexy subject, but we'll talk about budgeting for a second. You know, if you're increasing your income, if you're decreasing your expenses, and you have a decent budget, you'll be flying. That's the key to financial success in its most simplistic terms. With these podcasts, I'm going to be killing two birds with one stone. I am going to be writing the blogs, and I am going to be doing the podcasts with along the same subjects, more than likely. I don't want the stuff to be scripted, so I'm not going to be reading. I'll just be looking at certain notes. So if you do hear a little bit of paper like that in the background, it's only because I'm looking at my notes, making sure I don't go too astray. I'm well known for being able to waffle and going off on a tangent. Anyway, right, back to budgeting. Right, don't knock small amounts. A tenner a week saved is 500 a year. So that might not sound a lot to you. Well, that's good. If a tenner a week isn't a lot to you, then you should definitely be saving it. Earn more. A tenner a week is 500 a year. Why am I stressing that? I was like, who wouldn't like an extra 500 right now? The answer is nobody. A millionaire would be quite happy if I handed them 500 euro right now. So there you go. They'd be very happy and they'd take it off me. No problem at all. I'd like 500 euro right now. Would you like 500 euro right now? Or $500 or 500 of anything? Of course you would. So the likes of, what I don't really understand is the likes of Christmas comes around every year. The likes of birthdays come around every year. Holidays, you look for some type of holiday, or family looks for some type of holiday every year. Car insurance comes around every year. Education fees come around every year. There's so much that you could nearly put a timeline and figure out when stuff comes around. So why are we caught off guard? Why do we get upset? Why do we get flustered and frustrated and panicked that we don't have the money? Let's just talk about Christmas for the moment and summer holidays. Let's just talk about Christmas. We'll leave the car insurance and all that kind of stuff. Christmas and summer holidays, they come around every year. And what happens to a lot of people is, as it's getting closer to Christmas, they panic, don't have any money. I didn't think about it. I forgot it comes around every year. I forgot I have to save. And I forgot I'm going to need the money, and the panic every single year starts. Well, I stopped that process a few years ago. So what I do is I save 10 euro a week. 10 euro a week, as I said at the very start, is 500 a year. That 500, that 10 euro comes out of my account into another account, direct debit, every week. I don't even really notice it. And that 500 euro puts a dent in Christmas. It doesn't pay for Christmas, but it's 500 euro that I wouldn't have saved. It's 500 euro that I didn't notice saving. But I certainly notice that when it's there, and it puts a decent dent in Christmas. Now, if you can save 20 euro a week automatically without really noticing 20 euro a week, that's 500 euro for your summer holiday and 500 euro for Christmas. So that's 500 euro dent you can put into both of those things and reduce your panic. So you're not trying to take it out of your child allowance. You're not trying to take it out of your savings. You're not flying down to the credit union looking for to top up on loans when you don't even have the shares to cover your loan. You're not panicking, basically. You're not looking, you're not saying to the kids, I can't get you whatever this year. You're not looking to family members. You're not just sticking Christmas on your credit card, which is an awful vicious cycle. That's 20 euro a week is 1,000 a year. Tell me who does not want an extra 1,000 right now. It's a really handy thing to do, and it's an automatic process. You just set it up to come out of your bank account into set up another online bank account. Most of the online bank accounts can be more higher. The interest is crap on the accounts at the moment, but they're higher, I think, when you set them up online. Just look around and make it an automatic process so you don't have to physically do it. So it reduces any excuses not to actually do it. So small money becomes bigger money. Next thing about small money, another really good tip, and this is all low-level stuff. This is not the stuff a billionaire is going to be telling you in his book. Simply stop spending coins and put them in a large container to be counted once a year. If you do that, you're going to be shocked by the amount that's actually there. So don't spend any coins. Just throw them in your purse or in your handbag, in your wallet, in your car ashtray, in a cup, and then pull them all every week, every day, throw them in. It's so easy to spend the coins on an extra coffee here or extra that we live off the coins. If you don't, you're breaking notes to do it and throw the coins coins. I say the coins because it's a handier way to do it. I think you don't miss it as much with the coins. They do add up to one of the years I had as much as €2,000 in coins that I didn't even realize I had that much, and that put a huge dent in. I can't even remember what I spent it on, but I know I was delighted. I still think about it. So I still do it. It's not always €2,000 a year in coins, but you would actually be amazed at what you can save up in coins. I know some people that do it with €5 notes. They spend the coins, but they never spend €5 notes. That's a bit spendy for me. I'd probably notice all those fivers. Knowing me, I'd get all my wages in fivers and then I wouldn't be able to spend them. But €5 notes, is that one will add up. If you do that one, that will add up really, really quickly. Just spend everything else. Spend all your coins. Spend your tens. But anytime you get a €5 note or $5 note, you've got to put that away. You can't spend it. So that one will add up pretty quick. And the coins is a really, really good one. Next one. Oh yeah, nowadays probably all going to be set up online with direct debits for things. But we used to use the envelope method, which I still would actually use today. Most of my stuff is automated, but I still would use the envelope method, which is an amazing budgeting device. Now keep in mind, when I'm talking about budgeting, I brought my small company through the worst recession years ever, come out on top, kept my head above the water, kept my business above the water. When many major players folded, many small players folded. So I know what I'm talking about when it comes to budgeting. Don't knock small budgeting. The envelope method is an amazing method. Mark on it, car insurance. Every week, stick a couple of quid into it. Mark on your holiday or your Christmas, as we talked about, or your birthdays, or your own goal, your own material possession that you want to purchase, new clothes, car, whatever. So you can use your envelope method, or obviously you can do it through online banking. Right, finally, what have we covered? We covered increase your income, we've covered decrease your expenses, and we've covered budgeting. Right, the last thing we need to talk about is self-limiting beliefs. Now, I might read a little bit of this. So let's talk about something else that could be holding you back. And that's basically you. As harsh as that sounds, you are more than likely holding you back. How could you be holding you back? Well, basically your beliefs. First belief, right, is we're always focused on how limited money is, but there is you can't even get into your mind the overwhelming abundance of money that exists on the world. There is more than we can comprehend and more than we can count in physical form and in digital form. Not only that, but more again than we can comprehend is being produced and created every single day. Yet we're focused, so we can't even comprehend the amounts that we're trying to discuss at the moment, but yet we're focused on scarcity all the time. So try to shift your brain into an abundance mindset. Some people, you know, maybe we'll do a podcast and affirmations and stuff like that, and you know, the law of attraction. I know that book, The Secret, is quoted a lot for all that. But if you focus on scarcity and you focus on abundance, you know, it's worth a shot. Focus on the abundance. If it does work, super. And if it doesn't, you're going to be more positive anyway. It's worth a crack. So focus on the abundance. There is an absolutely massive amount of money out there. It's just a matter of figuring out how to get it into your pocket and staying in your pocket. Not all people who are financially secure are evil. You kind of need to get that out of your head, because if you don't get that out of your head, really, if you associate, you know, wealth and financial security with evil people, you're probably, your subconscious is not going to want you to be an evil person. So it is not going to wish you to be financially secure or rich or wealthy or any of those things. So you might want to get rid of that. In this country, in my country, money and even talking about money can be considered greedy. You know, if you go to a job interview and they and you bring up, well, you know, what's the salary, what's the wage? In here, I have lived in the US for a few years on and off, but here it's considered, well, you'd be told, I mean, it's happened to me before in the past, I've told, well, we're not looking for somebody who's only motivated financially, we're looking for somebody who's into the role that we're offering and the career and all that. So it's frowned upon, which is absolutely ridiculous, because money makes the world go around, and I never had anything like that when in the other countries I traveled to. So money and wanting to be financially secure isn't greedy. So get that out of your way. So out of your mind. Small changes do make a big difference, especially over, we're looking at a lifetime here. We're not looking at weeks and months. We're looking at years and we're looking at decades. So it is up to you to figure out how to get more money and how to keep the money that you have. I'll end with this one because it's very important. You have just as much right and chance as everyone else. So go forth and prosper. Do your best. Hopefully this has motivated you. Thanks for listening. I'm Roundhouse Rob, the Success Sensei. Life is a fight. You can enjoy and win. Bowing out.
This has been the Success Sensei, fighting the winning fight. So add us, subscribe, like, and comment. Keep those hands up and keep moving forward.